Pearl Servat, I'm happy to see you again.
You too. And you've been supportive of us literally from day one, EB. And we're incredibly grateful for the awareness that you've given us on an ongoing basis.
I got to know you when Visible took over bus stops and turned them into things like living rooms and basketball courts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like 3 years ago. So talk about awareness marketing. I would love for you to explain why you took over bus stops and how you have evolved at Visible and how its marketing has evolved.
So as you know, Visible is an all digital brand. We don't have physical retail locations. And we knew from day one that one way for the consumer to get to know us in real life and in a physical setting was through experiential marketing. And that has been one of the backbones of our marketing strategy. So it was a little bit of guerrilla marketing, a little bit of stunt marketing to, you know, sort of flip these bus stops on their heads in one of the busiest areas in LA on Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood. And sort of rebuilt them into these, you know, various settings, because the whole premise with Visible is that you can sign up for our service from really anywhere, including the comfort of your own home. And as an all digital brand that wanted to be very, very intentional about building the emotional connection between our prospects and consumers with the brand, we did also recognize that experiential marketing was going to give sort of an avenue for consumers who wanted to touch and feel and get to know the brand in physical settings. So the strategy with LA and what we did in those bus stops was convey the message that with Visible, convenience is the name of the game. And you can literally sign up for our service from anywhere. You can be in your living room, on the couch, on a basketball court, standing in line somewhere. No matter where you are, you can sign up in a matter of minutes.
So it was the bathroom?
The bathroom too, that's right.
Okay. But my best work there.
Exactly. So that's basically what we wanted to convey. And it was all about, and continues to be about, consumer education and brand building in the visible way. So it's witty, it's fun, it's approachable.
I love it. And it really brought the digital to something I can touch and feel. And I know touching and feeling is a big part of what you guys are doing. So we're going to get into how you've evolved at Visible and how its marketing has evolved. And we're going to chat all about that. Hey, it's EB Moss, and this is episode 39 of Insider Interviews, where you get the insider scoop on the business of media, marketing, and advertising. I'm talking with Pearl Servat. She's the head of brand marketing at Visible. And if you don't know them, well, you're not partying, because Visible is the first all-digital wireless carrier in the U.S. And what it does is connect people with a party plan with people you don't even know to bring you into that shared discount rate. It's a very cool company, and they're doing some very cool marketing. I've known Pearl for a few years now, since they first did some innovative marketing launches, and she's here to talk about how they build connection with their consumers through purpose and ongoing omnichannel communication. So here's Pearl. Pearl Servat, so good to see you again, as we talked about. And when we teed up this podcast episode of Insider Interviews, we talked about some of the stuff that Visible had done 3 years ago at its launch, and things have evolved. So I know that our friend Minjay Orms, who had been CMO, is now over at LinkedIn, and I had done a podcast episode with her. I'm so happy to now put you in the hot seat, and I would love for you to tell us your new title and then talk all about what you're doing with that title.
I'm so grateful for you, as is our whole team.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So I lead brand marketing and demand gen at Visible. And I essentially sit at the intersection of where I've always loved to be, between brand building and conversion and acquisition driving and growth. I've always been steadfast in the philosophy that all of the brand elements, creative messaging, positioning, all of the above, have to directly contribute to growth Obviously, awareness is also the name of the game because awareness leads to those conversions if done right. But this is sort of my bread and butter. And what really, really excites me is bringing those elements together in a really, really cohesive and clean way. We continue to be steadfast, EB, on the consumer journey. And that has never changed and will never change because consumers are really, our members are at the heart and soul of everything that we do. On a daily basis, we talk about what that experience looked like. How do you drive the emotional depth? How do you build, you know, long-lasting connection? And it's beyond just retaining the consumer for us because, as you know, every digital brand under the sun is always talking about how do you create the connection with the consumer? How do you create depth around it and longevity? And for us, we truly, truly try to be as intentional as we can at every touch point with the brand. So it doesn't just start and stop with marketing. It's all about the way we built the product, our offerings on the back end, on the front end, and then marketing sort of supports all of those elements. So that has never, ever changed for us. And it just continues to evolve because we continue to refine our approach.
Beautiful. Well, you know that I'm very passionate about the, I'll use your word, intersection of brand and demand.
Absolutely.
So Pearl, explain exactly what Visible is. You're a telecom with a difference. So what are you?
We are the first all-digital wireless carrier in the U.S.
So I get my phone service through you, yeah?
Yes. It's a really, really unique offering, EB, in that we give you unlimited everything, unlimited data, unlimited hotspot. It is $40, taxes and fees included. But if you want to join PartyPay, which is also very, very unique, it's our version of a shared or the old school family plan where you come together with other people. Some of these people know each other. Some of them don't know each other. Some of them don't want to be in a family plan but want the savings. So you come together and create this shared plan where each person is responsible for their own bill. You only share the savings, and that can go as low as $25 a month. So the reason that we're able to offer such an accessible both experience and price is, again, because we don't have the physical locations, we don't have the physical stores. So instead, you reinvest back into the technology and the ecosystem.
That sort of brings us full circle to how I cannot go in, like I can mm-hmm. Verizon to your parent company. Mm-hmm. I can't go into a Visible store that I can just sign up like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's from true. my couch or my bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So as Carl Fremont would say, every brand needs still a USP, a unique selling proposition. And Visible certainly has one.
Yeah, absolutely. So for us, simplicity is really what we stand on. And when I say simplicity, and one of our, you know, one of the other things that we talk about often is radical transparency and being not just the best telco brand, but the best digital brand, which is a, you know, it's one of those big, hairy, ambitious goals, right? But it's this notion of simplicity and a simplified consumer journey. You know exactly what you're getting from us. You know exactly how to sign up, how to manage it, how to interact with the brand, how much you're paying for it on a consistent basis. That never changes. So a really, really seamless and clean experience is everything that we stand on and stand behind with the brand.
Before you even built out, I think, those infamous bus stops, how did you initiate marketing for Visible? What did that begin with?
I would say this one, EB, really speaks to the types of people and the internal community that we have at Visible. We launched a social impact program and initiative called Visible Connect before we ever launched a product with Visible, the wireless carrier. And that's something that our employees and team members had specifically asked for. It's an accelerator program that supports nonprofit startups that, you know, support various impact causes. And we've partnered up with several of them since before, again, we ever launched a product with Visible, the wireless carrier, have had tremendous success. And for us, not only is it about supporting our immediate and extended communities through our owned programs, but also these partner programs, but it's also about entrepreneur to entrepreneur learnings, right? And leaning on each other and leveraging each other's platforms and really walking the walk when it comes to all things impact. So it's something that we're incredibly proud of. I don't want to put the banner of marketing around it because I truly believe that it is again about humanity and the types of people that make up who and what Visible is.
Well, it's more your mission. So yeah. In that you led with your purpose.
Yeah.
And you kick things off with purpose. So that it seems has been infused in all you do now in your marketing. You can't build a marketing plan without understanding what your mission is and vice versa in a way.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So that's been a through line for everything, but you've also gotten into, let's call it more of the mainstream marketing, such as with Dan Levy as a spokesperson and more recently, Kevin Bacon. Why don't you take a minute and describe what your messaging in your marketing is like and how and why you pick those folks?
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to talent partnerships, we do a significant amount of research, both around the people that we want to work with. We always create a short list and then we do brand matching, right? Where the overlaps are between our design targets and our prospects and sort of targeted consumer base, and then do the matching around that. And we 100% of the time only work with talent, whether they're influencers or marquee names, who again walk the walk when it comes to social impact, what they stand for on an ongoing basis, how they connect with their own communities, right? That's really important to us as a brand. So it doesn't just start and stop with, you know, you have high brand value and you have high conversion value. You really, really have to also stand for something and stand behind something. So those are the sorts of analysis that we do. And an audience matching for us, our sweet spot is 24 to 44, male mostly at this point. So, and then it sort of trickles down from there across all the various segments and interest groups and things like that. So they were both on our short list for a really, really long time. Dan, as you know, his star has really, you know.
I'm just happy to be able to say his name in a podcast. I love him so much. Anybody who dresses like the Globe at the Met Gala, you know, he had me at Globe.
Yeah, exactly. He's a lovely human being. And he really wanted to have a lot of creative input on the campaigns that he worked on with us. And we obviously welcome that because that made the relationship that much more authentic. So he worked very closely with our agency, Madwell. You know, they partnered up on the campaign together. And it was really successful for us because, again, all of those boxes were checked for us. It felt right. It was right. The data showed that it was right. And from again, impact analysis standpoint, he believes in things that truly, truly matter in an always on way. And that was really important to us. So he was an outstanding partner.
Fantastic. And then clearly, you know, if you're going to have a party, you need to surround yourself with people. And who better than a Kevin Bacon with 6 degrees of separation, da, da, da. So that's a really, really fun campaign. How do you set KPIs for those kinds of talent partnerships? I understand the vetting and that makes absolute sense. Because again, both of those people speak to your mission statement and reflect that as well. But from a revenue or performance standpoint, how do you illustrate how they do?
Sure, yeah. So as you know, when it comes to measurements and attributions, we as an industry are not as sophisticated as we all would like to be, right? And there are a lot of conversations and healthy debates around what metrics truly matter and what doesn't matter. For us, we do, you know, impact analysis pre and post campaign when it comes especially to our marquee campaigns. So the partnership with Kevin Bacon, the partnership with Dan Levy, both drove significant results for us. So we do pre and post from both from an awareness standpoint as well as growth, because like I mentioned earlier, one has to lead to the other. So that's the analysis that we do. We do brand health studies. We do, you know, then there are things like site visits and engagement rates and reach. And we don't love tapping into impressions, but that's one of the other measurements that we look at sometimes, depending on the channel. So for us, it's all about pre, during, and post, looking at the same set of metrics and measurements to see how they're trending up or what the consistency is around them.
Makes perfect sense. Thank you. And then also, did you leverage their personality in other tactics in a let's say a digital or static ad that had more of a performance element to it?
Yes, absolutely. So we did some elements of it with Kevin, but it was a much more integrated approach with Dan. He was featured in pretty much most of our marketing collateral across TV and the digital channels. As you know, we lean very heavily into digital because you want consistency across your whole campaign and all of your channels, right? They all more or less have to speak the same language. So he was featured across all of those channels for us, and they were measured as appropriate across TV according to the metrics that we look at for that, and then the digital channels and banners and social and paid and all of the above. And then, you know, there are other elements of the relationship that we also always tap into with cross-channel, sort of between his channels and our channel, social support, supporting the media and press and those elements as well.
Are there any channels that you prioritize? I mean, digital's a big world, or tactics that you love that have worked really well for your particular value proposition?
Great question. So that's something that we're consistently testing. And what we've learned today, 3 years in with the brand, is that your approach has to be omnichannel. Because if I am targeting you as a prospect, right, there has to be that multi-touch approach where you see the brand in 5 to 7 to 9 different ways and in different places. So I think it's become more about how we do it across these channels, both the digital and traditional, versus the what and the level of investment based on the measurements and the return that we see against those investments. So you normally probably wouldn't think that a channel like Visible leans into a traditional tactic like direct mail, right? But we actually started leaning into it this year, and it performs really well for us because it's all about the creative and the messaging and the number of times that we're targeting the consumer and the markets and how we do the market analysis and all of those things. So we've learned that when it comes to making your approach more sophisticated, it is truly more about the how than anything else. And that's across all of our channels, digital, experiential, sponsorships and partnerships, you name it.
I love that omnichannel approach, as you said, and I'm not surprised that direct mail is still performing. You know, I read some statistic that 22% of Gen Z had never written and mailed an actual letter.
Yeah.
I might have the audience wrong, but you know, the fact that we get something in the mail, if it's done well, I still like it and I hold on to it. Yeah, right? It's less ephemeral than, you know, that digital world. So another, I'll call it channel, mm-hmm. back to your mission, could be considered how you communicate your social responsibility. And during the pandemic, you launched Visible Acts of Kindness. I love that pro-social campaign. Can you talk about that for everyone?
Yeah, and thank you for the kind words. That is one of the campaigns that we're really, really proud of. And talk about real-time marketing. It came to life in just about, I don't know, 24 to 48 hours.
Really?
Yeah. We launched it in the beginning of the pandemic, EB. It was at a very, very uncertain and vulnerable time for all of us. Because remember, when the pandemic first started, none of us knew what the heck it was. What is it? How long does it last? What's the true impact? And I think it was within those first 2 to 3 weeks that we all got hit with a ton of bricks, right? So millions of people were impacted. Hundreds of thousands of jobs were immediately impacted. And as a digital company, we're consistently doing the social listening. And what we realized very quickly was that impact. A lot of people were going online, super vulnerable about the situations that they were in and what they were seeing. So we sent a very fast CRM email to our members just to check in and see how they were doing. Like, what's going on? How are you dealing with things? And the amount of response that we got from that one single send was absolutely unbelievable, because they were all saying, I've never had a company and a brand just send me an email and say, I want to hear how you're doing. It just again and again showed all of those layers of vulnerability and people wanting to reach out and connect with one another. So just right off of those observations, we launched this campaign, Visible Acts of Kindness, where we went online across all digital channels that we could and encouraged stories and acts of kindness, both given and received. And we partnered up with a lot of folks like Chef Emerald and Padma Lakshmi, a lot of personalities in the restaurant industry, as well as sports. And they helped us build that narrative and message. And we got over 2 million organic engagements for the campaign of people just sharing these stories and starting to go out there and show kindness, receive, like give, receive, all of the above. And I think over 13,000 stories were shared. And we had partners and non-partners who were reaching out to us and saying, hey, I heard about you guys from so-and-so. I want to be a part of this campaign. Mm-hmm. One of the people who reached out to us was Oprah Winfrey and President Obama's chef. He reached out. He was like, hey, we've never worked together, but I want to be a part of this movement. Like, let's do this. And one of the other partners said, I've never seen a brand color outside the lines like this. And then as a follow-up, we reached out to about 1,000 people very randomly who shared their stories, and we offered them $250 gift cards to Amazon just to show a token of our appreciation and support. And the only thing that we asked for as a part of that was for you to pay the kindness forward. We didn't ask for a follow. There was no, hey, we're visible, come and sign, none of those things. And this is, again, like everything that Visible stands for and more, the company really, really showed up and supported us in just going out there and doing this. And the return on that was absolutely through the roof. And it showed once again what can happen for a brand if you show up and take those steps, walk the walk in a really, really kind and genuine way. People respond to it, even when you don't ask for the likes and the clicks and the follows.
Love it. And, you know, one of my recent interviews was with Joe Jackman, who is a reinvention and brand transformation strategist, and absolutely underscores the imperative of purpose-driven brands, and customers are making that choice, but you're clearly making customers your friends.
Yeah.
And that seems to underscore your sort of party plan theme.
Yeah.
It almost reminds me of, I'd like to buy the world a Coke, you know, and everybody getting together and let's band together and we can all do this.
Yeah.
The togetherness thing. That's lovely. I know that you have traveled the world a lot. How did you end up here? Because again, when I met you, you were originally on board in communications and helping with earned media primarily. And you have, I know, a background with Pat Kingsley as your mentor.
Yes. Yeah.
But tell me a little bit about Pearl the Pearl.
Absolutely. So I did start my career in PR really at the intersection of talent representation and brands. I was, from the early days, I was really interested in working with clients who had high brand equity, personal brand equity, or those who were wanting to build their own brands from the ground up, do licensing deals, partnership deals. So I would say from those earlier days, that was sort of my bread and butter and an area that I really leaned into. And in my last role prior to this, and yes, like you said, Pat Kingsley was a mentor, still is a huge, huge part of my life. She was, before she retired several years ago, one of the most powerful people in the entertainment and also corporate world. Highly, highly respected. Her opinion continues to be highly valued across various industries. And she built this powerhouse of a company with PMK and was really one of the first people who brought together the two worlds between entertainment and brands and corporations. So we were the agency of record for massive conglomerates like Samsung and Audi and American Express and Pepsi and T-Mobile, you name it. So I started my career with her and came up in her company and built my own business within the agency. I am incredibly fortunate to have her support, and even my leaders and my CEO today at Visible, I've always felt supported in every role that I've been in, thankfully, knock on wood.
Yeah, you're a lucky woman.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I was saying, more and more, I became interested in sort of, you know, brand building with talent and their own companies and partnerships and things like that. And in my last role, it was a newly created role at PhillyMac. That company was a really interesting hybrid model between talent representation, production, and the founder also had a portfolio of investments. And I went in to build the marketing function within PhillyMac. It was really cool, super, super entrepreneurial in every sense of the word, moved at the speed of light, traveled all over the world and the country. And the reason that I joined Visible in the comms role was one, because, you know, Minjay had reached out to me. I'd known her for a very long time. We've had some pretty cool success stories together, you know, over the years. And, you know, it's, I will say this humbly, it was a little bit of sort of a step back from where I had been at PhillyMac and also PMK, but it was an intentional decision for me to transition out of entertainment and continue to sharpen my skills and make my experience more well-rounded. In the earlier days of the brand, when I joined, I built out the comms function. Then I built out the affiliate marketing program, which is a big contributor to our bottom line of the business. So I've always been accountable in every role for driving revenue. So I'm really grateful for the fact that Visible allowed me to take on and build and push myself and really support the business however and in any way that I can.
Beautiful. Pearl, I'm just so pleased to know you. And every single time I've been fortunate enough to communicate with you, you've been gracious and generous. And I have a feeling that it's a lot of the role models that you've been able to work with, and now you are one as well. Just terrific. Last question. It's a two-parter. How do you keep up with trends, and what are you personally projecting as a trend for the media and marketing industry?
Ooh.
So how do I follow trends? It's through my team, because I'm not nearly as cool and hip as they are.
Come on, I already said you were a role model. Don't let me down.
But they're also my role models. If, you know, yeah. To be honest with you, they truly are. Some of the people on this team are absolutely outstanding, and they have their fingers on the pulse of literally everything and everything that's happening. So I learned a lot from them. And then as far as what I think is sort of where we're headed is, I'm really personally happy that the term omnichannel is gaining prominence again. Because, you know, for a while we were all saying integrated marketing or multi-touch marketing and things like that. And omnichannel is making a very hip and, in my opinion, welcomed return to prominence. And I think it's just that, you know, you have to lean into the multi-touch approach in a very refined way. And it's truly for brands, more about the how and less sometimes about the what.
I couldn't agree more. And being an omnichannel marketer as well, I love that answer. And I don't know a better way to end this, Pearl Servat.
We can end it by me thanking you again for the tremendous amount of support you've given us. I really mean it.
Well deserved. And I know that you walk the talk, literally the talk at Visible. So thanks for all you guys are doing to help improve the world a little bit too. Well, I hope you got some good insider scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. If you enjoyed this content, please feel free to buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/mossappeal. And I hope you'll follow Insider Interviews on social media and let me know if you have a question or a suggestion for a next stellar guest in media, marketing, and advertising. Speaking of stellar, my theme music was composed and performed by the incomparable Grammy-winning John Clayton. If I can help you with your company's podcast, please find me at mossappeal.com. Thanks again for listening.